We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you ready for rapid fire?
Let's go, baby.
Let's do it.
It's time. We hit that 1 hour mark. Boom. Time for rapid fire. Let's
do it. So I saw this referenced earlier. Notre Dame's last Heisman Trophy winner, Tim Brown, had a lot to say this weekend about Tommy Rees and the work he did as Notre Dame's offensive coordinator. So here's what Tim Brown had to say. He tweeted out three long tweets
Yes, he did.
This is a great day for Irish football and maybe even a better day for Tommy Rees. I've been around a lot of defenses, but the Irish offense last year, with maybe the exception of the North Carolina game, was extremely predictable. Seeing the offense struggle told me at least two things. One, Tommy was very dependent on Kelly, and more important, he didn't have the ability to dissect a defense. What we saw is what I call hero ball. You have a player, Mayer, who is better than the person covering, and you throw him the ball a zillion times. Make him the hero. If that doesn't work, you lose. I was at a couple games where it took everything in me not to go knock on the booth window and say, give me the call sheet. LOL. I truly wish him well. He's going to need it. Let's go Irish. So that is from Tim Brown, Hall of Famer. Buy or sell what Tim Brown is dishing out there.
Look, I buy it from the fact that he can say whatever he wants. I have
very good point.
I have no problem.
He's a Hall of Famer. Who the hell are we, right?
I mean, and he's the last Heisman Trophy winner at the University of Notre Dame.
That's right.
Right? You can say whatever you want, man. I have zero problem with that. There's bits and pieces that I agree with, right? I can't say that he can't dissect a defense. You know, I don't believe that. You know, were some things predictable? Yeah, no doubt about that. But at the same time, he was trying to be nice at first. He was saying, you know, this is great for Tommy Rees. This is great for Notre Dame. And then he kind of went in the weeds there a little bit. So I don't agree with everything that he said, obviously. But he's entitled to his opinion. I have no problem with him putting it out there. Zero problem.
Oh, I have no problem with him putting it out there as well. You know, the funny thing was he says at least two things. And then he goes, one, Tommy was very dependent on Kelly and da-da-da-da-da. There is no number two in this series of tweets. He's got three long tweets. He says there's two things, but there's only a number one. There is no number two in there. So, you know, I thought that was a little bit odd. The hero ball, I agree with what Derek is saying. I don't buy the hero ball part. I don't put that on Tommy Rees. I put that on an inexperienced quarterback who locked in on Michael Mayer too much, you know, and he spent a lot of time with Michael Mayer after practice, and that's great. I think that between the fact that you're going to have a new offensive coordinator and you're going to have a new quarterback and you have no, you know, as great as Michael Mayer is, you know, I've said this before, I think the offense is going to be a heck of a lot more diverse going forward because you don't have that safety net. And that's what it was. It was just a safety net. I don't think it was hero ball necessarily. Now, I do think, you know, whether or not Tommy was dependent on Brian Kelly, I think that there were Brian Kelly tendencies that Tommy Rees had that we sort of assumed after watching the Fiesta Bowl last year were going to be gone, but that didn't right. come to fruition, you know? So I think that there are definitely tentacles back to Brian Kelly that Tommy Rees has, you know? And so that's the biggest thing to me. Now, Tim Brown can say whatever he wants to say. I mean, any of us can say whatever he wants to say, but Tim Brown's got even more clout with it because he's Tim freaking Brown, you know? So
right.
go for it. Go for it.
Yes, absolutely. I think that, you know, he was trying to walk the line a little bit. I think Stymie Snerdly says, kudos for waiting until Tommy left before airing his beef, I guess. Yeah, now step up and be part of the solution. And it's good that he's not calling out coaches while they're still employed at Notre Dame. I do give him credit for that.
Very true.
You know, and obviously he wasn't happy, but he didn't sound terribly pissed off. Like, it was just, hey, this is a great opportunity for Notre Dame. And I agree. It is a great opportunity for Notre Dame.
Yeah. I completely agree. All right. Now, okay. So I didn't see the response to Golic Jr. Maybe I need to look that up here real quick. Sure, have you seen that?
I have not, but I'm sure Golic came to the defense.
I was going to say, I saw people right away saying, oh, I can't wait till Golic Jr. sees this, you know, because he's obviously been a pretty staunch Tommy supporter.
They were roommates at one point, so no surprise there.
Yeah, we will. Chi-Town, we'll mention Pro Bowl weekend here in a minute. It's part of rapid fire. I can guarantee you that. So
yeah.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Fill in the blank. It's blank that Sam Hartman tweeted video of himself working out with his teammates at the Goog this weekend.
The sign of an intelligent, mature person. That's what it is to me. Because he's not going to, you know, get out there and get in like a Twitter debate with people or do anything. He's just going to put out a video of him working hard with a pretty solid phrase on the back of his jersey or back of his t-shirt. And there it is. Boom, back to work. Like, it was just enough to quiet people down. And I thought it was fantastic. I think it showed, what is he, 24, 20, 27? I don't know. He's old. And I think it shows how mature he is, because it's just, hey, here it is. I'm working hard. I'm putting in the work. Let's go.
And that's, you know, I think it was basically, you know, I think what D-Rock is kind of saying, he's basically saying, I'm here. You know, all these people freaking out is Sam Hartman going to follow Tommy Rees down to Alabama right. and all that kind of stuff? And he didn't have to say a word. All he had to do was tweet a picture of himself in the Goog with a Notre Dame shirt on, and you knew where he was, and you saw a teammate or two, you know, working out with him. And he's like, I'm here. I'm getting ready for the season now. I'm getting ready for spring. I'm not going anywhere. I'm at Notre Dame. And I thought it was the perfect response to the whole thing when you've got so many people. Again, it's like you wonder, you know, like if Ruggiero or whatever, you know, like had left Wake Forest last year, you know, like what would the Wake Forest uproar be, you know, around that? I imagine there's a lot more up here around Notre Dame. So I thought it was a great response by him.
It was perfect. It spoke a thousand words. You know what I mean? He didn't even have to say anything. It was great. It was perfect.
Yep. I agree. Michael says Tim Brown crushed Golic Jr. with everything on himself in a photo. National Championship, Heisman, Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, he took a picture of his shelf. And yeah. Here we go. Derek said he posted a pic of his Heisman and bust and said Golic can say something when he has those on his shelf.
I mean,
that's kind of the ultimate mic drop, isn't it? I mean,
to say to that at that point, you know,
his Heisman trophy and his Hall of Fame bust. Yeah. I mean,
right,
you know,
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so with Tom Brady retiring, Dan Orlovsky gave his list of his top five quarterbacks of all time. He put Tom Brady at number one, Patrick Mahomes at number two, John Elway at number three, Peyton Manning four, and Dan Marino five. So, Vince, my question is, who would be your top five quarterbacks of all time?
So it's funny. I read the question and I'm like, okay, yeah, I got to write this down. I got to figure it out. So I just went through my head and I just wrote down my top five.
Right off the top of your head.
Right off the top of my head.
Okay.
And I don't have, I mean, Tom Brady obviously is not playing anymore. I don't have any current players in my top five. Maybe that's bad.
I don't think you can. Like you. Of the guys who are currently still playing, it's not like Manning or Elway are still playing. You know, it's like,
right.
All these other guys like Aaron Rodgers, you know, people want to talk about him. He's only got one championship.
Right. And that's the thing. And I don't want to harp on the championships because I do have Dan Marino in my top five and he doesn't have any championships. So, I mean, I would kind of, it'd be counterintuitive of me to argue that versus, you know, whatever, but Patrick Mahomes' story is not completely written yet. Right. And people are saying, you know, if he retired today, he'd make it into the Hall of Fame. Maybe he would. He's a really good quarterback. I'm not ready to put him in the top five of all time, though. So my list is honestly, it's exactly the same as Orlovsky's list, except I took out Patrick Mahomes and I put in Joe Montana. And that's my list. So it goes Brady, Montana, Elway, Manning, Marino.
Yeah, Brady, I've got Montana number two. And I saw the whole argument that Orlovsky, I don't even really know that he justified not having Montana. It's like, how do you not go with a guy? You know, it's like, I even flirted, you know, with Terry Bradshaw. And now, like, as a pure quarterback, Terry Bradshaw is not going to match these guys. You know, he had a big arm and, you know, all this.
He won a lot of titles.
He was 4-0 in the Super Bowl as well. You know, that carries a lot of weight, but you know, I went with Manning number three after Montana. There's just no excuse for leaving Joe Montana off the list. I'm sorry. You cannot leave Joe Montana off the list. I mean, Joe in his mind thinks that he's ahead of Brady. I can't go that far. I'm sorry, Joe.
I'm sure he does.
Brady number one.
He was for a long time for me, and I held out as long as I possibly could, keeping Montana on the top. But I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yep. I've got Peyton at number three, Elway at number four, Marino at number five. And I saw somebody saying, you know, that Elway was overrated. I'll say this about Elway. And I could not stand Elway for the entirety of his career. My grandpa loved John Elway. I could not stand John Elway. At least my grandpa also loved Roger Staubach. So we had that. But he loved Elway. Couldn't stand Elway. Now, I will say this. My stance on Elway softened a few years back when they made that 30-30 about, you know, the whole draft process. I don't know if you've seen that. Elway to Marino.
Yes.
Excellent 30-30. And it explains a lot, you know, because a lot of, you know, the reason that I hated Elway was because of his whole, you know, I'm not going to play for the Colts and all this different stuff. And he came off as a big diva before he ever played anything, you know, so that played into it. The thing I'll say in Elway's favor is until the end, he didn't play like he didn't have Hall of Fame teammates, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. He had some guys on the defensive side of the ball, but he didn't have a lot, you know, like Ricky Nateel, you know, some of these other guys.
Sure.
You didn't have a lot, especially in that late 80s, you know, when they were getting to the Super Bowl and, you know, getting blown out in the Super Bowl. But he didn't have Hall of Fame skill guys that he was working with really before Terrell Davis, you know, the running back who blew out his knees, you know, it was all said and done. So I'll give Elway credit. Like, he did a lot with very little on the offensive side of the ball in his career. Marino is just a shame. I mean, maybe the most physically gifted quarterback ever. And the fact that he only played in one Super Bowl is just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So did you watch any of the Pro Bowl games yesterday, Vince?
You know, no. The answer is no. I turned on ESPN at one point because I was bored, and it was like girls flag football, like high school girls flag football.
Yeah, but by the way, Jason says Vance Johnson, and, you know, he's LOLing. I don't know if he's LOLing because it's like that's who Elway was working with, but, you know, like that's how I kind of take it because, like, Vance Johnson was, you know. But anyway,
yes,
go ahead, Pro Bowl.
But no, I watched none of the Pro Bowl festivities. I didn't even know what channel or what time they were on, if I'm being honest. I don't. So, no, I didn't.
Yeah, so I got back from the women's game and like flipped it on, and they're doing like their different events, you know, like the crazy catch and whatever and all these different things in the flag football games. And like I had it on because I was like trying to.
You tried.
Yeah. And my wife was sitting there and she's like, what is this? This is stupid.
Your wife is always the voice of reason when it comes to stuff.
You know, you're right. I will say it was no worse than an actual Pro Bowl game, you know, like what a Fair Pro enough. Bowl game used to be, but it was definitely no better either. And then, but that stadium was full, man. They sold tickets. You know, I don't know how much they sold the tickets for, but yeah, the crazy catch was crazy. Something like that.
They just need to turn the Pro Bowl into an on paper honor at this point.
Yeah.
They
need to, like, an award ceremony, you know, like make it a TV show or something. Just, you know,
I mean, then you don't have all the replacement players too, which is ridiculous. Did you see that Josh Allen opted out of the Pro Bowl so that he could play golf at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am? He was injured.
Like, if that doesn't tell you anything.
Right. Exactly. Like, come on. It just needs to be the guys that get it originally. You got it on paper. Congratulations. Like, we don't need the fanfare and all the nonsense.
Well, there was actually controversy at the end of the last flag football because they played three different flag football games, and then they would, like, pause and do some more of these events, and they even had a concert. You know, that was really when my wife was like, what is this?
What's happening?
What is this? So the NFC was winning, and inside the AFC 5-yard line at the end of the game, there's like under a minute to go or something, and they had a rule that there were no running plays allowed inside the 5-yard line because it's a flag football game. So the seconds are ticking down. Rather than risk running a play and throwing an interception, Kirk Cousins took a knee for the game's final play, and that was the end of the game. And so Peyton Manning's the AFC coach. Eli is the NFC coach. Peyton comes out and he's protesting. He's saying, well, taking a knee is a running play. So what do you think?
I mean, technically it is a running play.
I've got to agree.
It says team rush when we're
like, if it's a real
stats,
football game,
right? Yeah. It's a team rush. So it is a running play. Would I have argued it in this particular scenario? I mean, I'm just as competitive as the next guy, so the answer is probably yes. I probably would have argued it, but, you know, it's so stupid. The whole thing is just so stupid. But, yes,
that's, you know, it's a bunch of competitive guy. You know, like, why don't you just take the ball and, like, throw it up in the air as high as you can
throw it?
Out
of the back of the end zone. Or
right.
There's a million other things you could have done.
Right. Well, I'm like, the change of possession. Now, I don't know exactly how much time was up, but the change of possession wouldn't have happened until the ball hit the ground, if they even stopped the clock there. So just throw it up and wait for it to come down. You know,
right.
See if it ever comes down. We said Joe Montana. Oh, he's saying Joe Montagna.
That's a Waterboy reference right there.
That's right. Okay, so Indiana students stormed the court after the Hoosiers beat number one Purdue Saturday night. You had some of the ESPN analysts going off, you know, criticizing storming the court. Are you good with the court storming, Vince?
1,000% yes. IU sucks. Purdue is the number one team in the country. And it's your biggest rival. You beat them. Storm the court. I have no problem with that.
And they're students. You know,
right.
Like,
right.
You're going to dictate, you know, like the one thing I heard was, well, okay, Indiana, you're supposed to be the blue blood in this whole thing.
They haven't been and a blue blood in forever.
Purdue's the stepbrother. But Purdue's the number one team in the country, and you beat them on your home court. I don't have a problem with the students doing it. You know, like aunts and uncles and whatever, I think I'd have, you know, a bit more problem sure. with that. But the students, go have fun. You're in college. Yeah. That's what it's supposed yes. to be. You know?
Absolutely. If no Notre Dame can storm the field when they beat Clemson, then IU can storm the field when they beat Purdue. Has IU been a blue blood basketball program for the last 10 years?
I argued last year, before, you know, on my old show that Indiana, as bad as they have been for two decades, basically now, that they should not be considered a blue blood anymore.
I mean,
they're not successful enough.
And there's no sign of them getting any better. I don't hate to say it because I really hate IU basketball, but Purdue has been markedly better than IU over the last couple of decades. Markedly better, with a couple of blips maybe for IU, but markedly better. So I have no problem with them storming the court. They were the underdog. They pulled off the upset.
They talk about Assembly Hall like it's some hallowed ground as well. And I think you've been there, haven't you?
I have not, actually.
Oh, I knew you went to Bloomington a couple years ago. Like,
we did. It was during COVID, though, so they didn't let us go inside anything.
I've been in there a couple times, and it's like nothing special. You know, like none of it is just – it's like, you know, a decent gym, but I don't know. It all goes back to the glory days, basically. And those days are long gone.
Yes. And there's plenty of people out there that would say Notre Dame fans suffer the same way, you know, that the glory days were back in the 80s and the 70s and whatever. And okay, fine. But I can tell you right now, Notre Dame football is a heck of a lot closer to a championship than IU basketball is.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So, speaking of IU, do you buy or sell? First, I guess I should show this one because my hot take that IU's candy cane striped warm-up pants are stupid. And Quinn says he called his guy this week. He said he was calling a lawyer. We're getting the papers ready for you over the candy cane striped pants. Proud alum. Now, you can be an alum, Quinn. That's fine. But are the candy cane striped pants, is that really the hill that you want to die on if you're an IU fan?
Like, those are the worst. They're the worst. I'm sorry. It's a buy or sell question, right? Am I buying or selling the candy cane pants?
Are you buying or selling that the candy cane striped pants are stupid?
That's a huge buy. They're stupid. I've always hated the candy cane striped pants, and it's even worse that every high school in Indiana feels like they need to replicate the candy striped pants. I don't understand it. I don't
with
like
different
it.
Colors.
Yes.
It's like you got the gold and the black and the green and the white and the maroon and the white. It's like everyone, you know, like they don't look good to begin with. And now you're putting your, they look like circus pants. They look like, they're, you know, terrible. like the tall guy on stilts. Like the tall guy on stilts at the circus. That's what the candy cane stripe pants remind me of.
Yes.
And that's that's what you're laying your tradition on as an IU fan, right, is the candy cane stripe pants. Come on. It's not even a uniform. It's the warm-up pants.
It's just terrible. Just absolutely terrible. I'm sorry. And it shows such a lack of thought and such a lack of creativity by all these high school coaches that are like, yes, candy cane pants.
We're going to be like IU.
We're going to do it here too. I mean, and unfortunately, most of the teams that have those are just like IU. They stink. So,
Tennessee creamsicle pants. Now, that would be interesting. I've never liked them. I've never bought them. I just do not think they look good at all on basically a grown man. You know, it would be another thing if it was a 12-year-old team or something, I guess. But
I just
they don't look good. Tommy wants to know if we've checked out the Savannah Bananas baseball team. Have you seen some of that stuff on social media?
Absolutely. I know they do like a tour and they go around. If they ever came into town, I would absolutely go watch. I think it's not what I would like to see baseball be, but I would definitely go to be entertained. It's like watching the Harlem Globetrotters is what it is. It's the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. I would absolutely go watch. I would have a good time. It would be fun, but that's not the way I want to see baseball go. Obviously, they do like banana ball, which is like
right
over in like 2 hours. You know,
splits and you know swing from the splits.
They do all kinds of craziness, and it would be very entertaining. It would be.
Yeah,
and you got to be really talented to be able to pull off a lot of the stuff that they do.
Kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball, basically. Exactly.
Yep. And I would go watch them, but yeah, not what I would want to see baseball go to. They're you know, a niche.
Yeah. Like Jason says, it's not baseball, but it's entertaining. That's right. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
Steve says he was a former IU coach and he hated the candy cane pants. Big ups to Steve.
From the inside, baby. I love it.
You deserve a plaid pair of pants for that. For a Bobby Knight plaid jacket from way back in the day. I don't know. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for tonight. A lot of good stuff tonight. Covered a lot of stuff. And of course, we're going to be covering this whole offensive coordinator coaching search as long as it goes on here on the Irish Breakdown channel. So we've got a lot of different stuff.
Yeah. There's going to be multiple coaches on campus this week. I have a feeling.
Yes.
But we'll see how it all turns out.
It's coming. That's right.
Yep.
I'll be interested to see who those guys are.
So big. This is such a big hire. Get it right.
It is.
Get it right.
It's huge. You get a, this is like complete reset right now.
Yeah.
With this.
This is going to shape Marcus Freeman's legacy at Notre Dame.
I agree.
I know that's big talk, but I truly believe that it is going to shape his legacy.
And that's why I would not be hanging my hat on Byron Leftwich.
Sorry. Or Charlie Weiss Jr. You know, a lot of those other people that we talked about. No. Go for the big three, baby. Go for the big three.
All right, thanks for being here tonight. Hit the like button on your way out. If you would, we always appreciate it. It helps out the Irish Breakdown channel greatly, and hopefully more people are coming now that we've got a coaching search going on right now. So hit the like button, subscribe, rate, review, give us a 5-star rating on your podcast platform and comment and all that kind of great stuff as well. We will talk to you tomorrow on IB Nation Sports Talk.